Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome to Season 4 of the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
This podcast is all about elite distance running in the UK.
We're here to give you all the latest news updates around the sport,
as well as weekly interviews with athletes and coaches.
Stay up to date by following us on Instagram and X at Sunday Podcast.
And make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel too, where we post athlete workout videos, shoe reviews and more.
Thanks for listening, and as always, we hope you enjoy the episode.
Okay, hello, welcome back to another episode. As we're recording, we're on the eve of British Champs, so it's Friday the 28th. Obviously, we've already kind of put our British Champs prediction or preview episode out, and our prediction contest, now you're listening, will have closed. So maybe some of you are actually listening to this on your way up to British Champs, so enjoy the day. On the Sunday, we'll be there as well, so look out for us, come say hi if you'd like to. And then obviously kind of we're looking forward to seeing who wins that prediction contest as well. Very excited for that. Matt and I were just kind of talking about our own entries that we put in kind of last weekend, and there's a few regrets already in there, but it will definitely be interesting to see kind of how it actually all unfolds. This episode though, obviously Zach Mohammed on the podcast, not racing at British Champs, but obviously he's had a great season so far, so we'll get into that a bit more later. But Matt, we just wanted to chat a bit about some of the recent races, including USA's, and also talk about kind of how we're going to review British Champs as well, because that will come out next week too.
Yeah, I think basically we're just going to keep it simple and just wait for that team to be announced for the Olympic Games. Obviously, we know there is going to be a little bit of a pause, if you like, while people dispute the decisions that have been made. We'll just wait for that team announcement. I think it's going to be on the Tuesday, Wednesday. And then we'll get that review done. If for whatever reason, I think I've read that right, then maybe they'll delay it a little bit. If they do, we'll just get it out probably Wednesday at the latest, won't we? Something around there. We're looking forward to it. And then obviously the Diamond League starts back up, and we've got the likes of Monaco around the corner and things like that in a couple of weeks, which I think Jakob's been announced for already. So then we get to really see those last few competitions pre the big one, and then start building hype for the Olympic Games. So that's with the review and the prediction contest results and everything like that. So we'll announce that in that same episode. So listen for that. But we thought we'd give you something to enjoy on a Sunday, Zach Mohammed. Like you said, serious breakthroughs the last sort of 12 to 18 months. Interested to see why and how he's managed to improve so much. I think he was a 29 minute plus guy in 2022, and now he's like a 27:40 runner. So 27:40 and change. So serious breakthroughs, and his kind of theory around missing champs. Like you said, like we asked him about it and disinterested. He kind of boxed off the big goal for the season, which was the Euros. And to be honest, fair enough. And I think some athletes, like as fans, we often might get a little bit annoyed at that. I mean, I thought, you know, with a guy who's run 13:24, like Zach Mohammed, wouldn't he just sort of have a crack at British Champs? But I think, you know, he's happy where the season is. He's going to do a couple 3Ks and then he's going to get ready for cross. And I think, you know, fair play to him. The Mohammed brothers are two athletes who I think they do treat their season. They pick out key races and that's how they structure their season, which is fair enough. And they have very individual goals and that's it. Nothing really gets in the way of those.
Yeah, absolutely. So, keep listening out for that. Just before we get into it though, Matt and I, we wanted to chat about bit about USA's, because obviously they had their own trials last weekend. Ours are obviously today, for those of you listening on the day. And there was a bit of drama. A thing Mu missed out on the Olympic Games, so she will not be there to defend her title against Keely Hodgkinson, which is a bit of a shame. But at the same time, there's been a bit on Twitter about kind of should USA stay the same format, should it not? But I think we've always been in agreement, mate, haven't we, that the USA's is the best trials format, and that sort of drama, it I think really like heightens kind of the focus on your own champs. Like, I'm also someone who I don't get me wrong, I appreciate every kind of, I feel like every episode I'm always dissing how many kind of USA's they have, but their actual Olympic trial system is class, having top three make the team.
But a few, I think Michael Johnson came out and said as well, it's probably one of the only nations in the world who can actually have that selection policy and still bring a full strength squad. Because I do think there are instances where for many nations that if an athlete misses their trials, they're probably still the strongest athlete. Like even if they're injured and then 6 weeks later they're only at 80% fitness, they're probably still going to be better than 99% of their own country. And I feel like we're probably at the level where maybe we could adopt it. And like we've wanted to in the past, haven't we? And I still feel like we probably could. I think it would definitely add to the excitement. And I think, look, men's 1500, women's 800, those races where there's just two spots up for grabs, I think make them really exciting. And I mean, they've been the best races, the champs in previous years anyway. And I think they're going to be the best this year as well. And so I think, like, I guess we've got the top two auto in that third spot, which is fair enough. It allows people like her to play around with it. But I do love how there's just no favoritism. And like, yeah, Kerr, you might be the best in the world right now, but just go and prove it then. Just go put on an absolute display at your British champs. Like, if you're the best in the world, you can race a British champs. Like, shouldn't make a difference to your season. I think Jakob's gone home to race his Norwegian champs, I'm pretty sure. But we're gonna see him in the 800, so it's good.
I do think we're at the level now where we could do it, because say I think any event where there's more than three people with a standard, for example, then I'd argue you are strong enough to do it.
Well, and actually, when you go through ranking points, we are strong enough to do it. And I do think the Americans, especially the fans and the media, I think they're struggling to get to grips with these ranking points. Obviously, like I think the men's steeple, there was a few upsets there, and quite a lot of people who haven't hit the standard but are on ranking points, like Wilkinson and stuff. And it's just like American fans, they love black and white. And now there's this horrible like waiting game. And look, Drew Hunter in the 10 was one. Like, how do you beat a Nico Young? He's then like waiting, and they want to know then. Like, that does add to the drama, the result just being instant as soon as people cross the line. But yeah, obviously their system just hasn't paid with the thing Mu. And look, do you know what? To be honest, it serves her right. Like, I laughed when she I shouldn't do, but like I did laugh when she fell over, because I was just like, well, if you're not going to race all year and you fall like that, that's just on you, and that's a mistake that she's going to have to live with. And like, they build this system so much on like being at the pinnacle. And look, Sydney McLaughlin, it pays for her, but she doesn't have to share a lane. She doesn't really have to. I mean, I know there's tactics in the 400 and the 400 hurdles, but it's very much like on you to execute them. No one, you're just controlling yourself. Whereas in an 800, anything more than a lap of the track, obviously there's a lot of other variables that you can't control, that actually you have to be able to kind of perform on instinct and stuff. So it's like, I don't agree with the way they program a system, their season, sorry. But yeah, like, that's fair play. And do you know what? Like, the three who made the team are no slouches. So what's to say a thing Mu would have won that race anyway?
Yeah, I almost feel, do you know who I feel sorry for? Is them, in a way. That people are like, oh, you make the team because Mo falls, you know. Whereas actually, like, if they just get across the line first, everyone's like, oh, okay, yeah, you're better anyway. Whereas all the talk now is a bit taken away a bit from their kind of success. But at the same time, I'm sure they're not too bothered. They're going to the Olympics. They're the ones who are Olympians this year. So yeah, all power to them, you know.
Yeah, and look, Nir Aitken, Brooks Beast, running a PB with 157.3 after kind of three rounds in her as well. Like, I thought she was seriously impressive. Like she ran away
Mm.
with that, and Ali Wilson and Whitaker as well in third. And like they have got a very strong team, and I think at least one of them, possibly two, can like challenge to make a final. That's for sure. But I think as a fan of the sport, it's a shame we're not going to get the Moo Keeley matchup, the Moo Mora Keeley matchup, I guess. So
Yeah.
like I think the sport has been a little bit damaged there. But like I said to you, what's to say that Moo would have won that race? And what's to say she would have got to Olympic Games not in that good a shape anyway? So, or like not at the same level that she has been previously. So, she's going to have to go prove that she is the best 800 runner in the world whilst not being at the Olympic Games. Yeah, but also like, I think it's harsh on her to like, from her like coaching team to not let her race, if it was her decision or not, I don't know. But like, she was so distraught and like.
Yeah.
She clearly put so much, like that was all or nothing. And the problem is when you have that attitude, like obviously she was crying her eyes out crossing the line. And that's just not like, that can't be nice for an athlete. And like she knew like all the spotlight was on her and everything. And like she failed. And like your failures are just much bigger. Like if you don't race for that long and you put all your eggs in one basket, when you do fail, dude, it hits you hard. And like it
Yeah.
just means that pickup's going to be so much harder. Whereas if she's on the circuit winning every race and having fun and enjoying racing, and then look, it goes wrong at champs, then and she's like, well, you know, this is racing, this is the sport, fair play. But like she just looks to not take that well at all. But
Yeah. I think, yeah, like you say, you're just putting yourself at a disadvantage, aren't you? Like not having practiced that at all. Yeah, it's, especially someone the way she runs, like she's obviously got that huge loping stride. It likes to run out front, kind of away from the pack. You're going into it not in quite in your best shape, and that's why she got tripped up. Like she's kind of cross,
Well, she
moving around.
looked like she ran into them as well. Like
Yeah.
it was a bit dopey, but yeah, if you watch the
Yeah.
video, go watch it if you haven't seen it. It's on YouTube. It's a good watch. It's high drama. And mate, more high drama. I've got to talk about this men's 1500 because I think we could be looking at he's not being hyped for an Olympic champion, and rightly so, he shouldn't be. But mate, Cole Hocker, I said it after indoors. I said, like, this guy is a serious threat. He just looks so good. Like, he's running well over 5K. He just can kick like the clappers, mate. Like,
Hey,
he
the guy's
reports
a
out
beast.
52
Yeah.
last night or something. And like, what's more is he front ran a 3:34. I'd never seen it look so easy. Like, it was ridiculous. You're dragging all these men to PBs in the heat, and mate, 3:30.5. I had to like double glance at the clock when I saw the time, because I didn't think it was like that quick. They just made it look, and but phew. I mean, I think come the Olympic Games he'll be in 3:28, 3:29 shape. If you're in 3:28, 3:29 shape and you can kick in a 52, 53 last lap at that speed, mate, you chances are you probably win. Because yeah, I mean
Yeah.
that's
Well, I
what
mean,
we've been last few years.
the way people hype on the goose, Cole Hocker must be the best in the world right now. So, like,
I need to go on this guy's profile because I have never seen him win a race. And yeah, he is just a nearly man. And maybe he's gonna win his race at the Olympic Games. And then
maybe.
he'll laugh at everyone who said like he'd never won a race, and that would be totally fair play. We'd have
Oh,
to
I hope
give
he does, honestly. Like,
have to
well,
give
I
him
say
some
that.
respect there. You don't hope he does, mate.
Yeah.
Come on now, shut up.
Nah, Josh Kerr. Josh Kerr, always supporting Josh Kerr. And on Josh
Oh,
Kerr, I've changed my opinion on Grand Slam track now because the guy Josh Kerr has committed, so I'm all for it now. So nah, just I think look, I said it last week. I'm always a bit skeptical about these things. But look, they're kind of at the moment anyway, they're putting their money where their mouth is, they're getting the names in. Josh Kerr's committed.
I told you they would sign the big names, and I think people are saying, "Will Jakob follow?" And who's going to follow? And I honestly think he will. I don't see
I
who
think
else.
Jakob has to.
Yeah.
I think he has to follow Kerr.
Yeah, I don't
Because
think.
otherwise everyone's going to be saying, Jakob, you're scared. Jakob, you don't want to race Kerr, et cetera, et cetera. So
Yeah, I think he'd. I think he does as well. The only problem is, which I guess we hadn't really considered properly, is the whole 800 and 1500 double and then the 3 and the 5 double. Those athletes who, in the modern day, good 1500 runners at the moment would much rather a 15 3K double. Whereas, yeah, like, look at someone like, and also, I don't know one 800 meter runner on the circuit right now who would contest the 1500 at a like a really high class diamond league. I guess you're looking at Elliot Giles, right?
Yeah. Wyman's probably the only
Wyman,
one.
You know, Wyman is the best one, you know. Yeah. I would probably say comfortably. Like, and then, yeah. So I think that will be really interesting to see what these athletes do, because we might not even get a Jakobsen and Ingebrigtsen matchup, because Ingebrigtsen is doing the 3 and 5. Yeah, Kerr's doing the 8 and 15. Kerr might be doing the 3 and 5. Don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that would take way too much of a toll on his season.
Yeah, that's what I almost think. Like, I almost think they should have gone down more of like a team format, and then like you just pick your athletes.
You just pick your athletes. Yeah, and again, they might change it. Like, it's year one, right? So I think it will change, and I think there will be teams in the future.
Yeah.
And
because if there's teams, right, you could say you double up in certain events. Like, even if, like, I don't know, what would be cool if you had someone in like a 15 and a 5, and then like someone else then has to do like an 8 and a 3, for example. Because like Kirk could do an 8 and a 3, but you like pick it based off who your matchups are that meet, for example.
Yeah.
Or you do like, I don't know, you could do a 4 and a 15, like say you're Whiteman, for the team, if, for example, because that's what fits best that meet.
But I do think watching a race and like, so we're basically saying that doubles like maybe one of its drawbacks. However, like, could you imagine watching Jakob do an 800? Like, if he did have to, how exciting would that be? Like, okay, Jakob, you've won the 15, you've got X amount of points. You've got to at least come third in this 800. Otherwise, you're not the best middle distance runner. Someone else is going to get a better point average and stuff. So I think it's going to add to, and it's going to take away from this obsession that we have with times, you know, you know, that race was no good because it was 1 in 3:34, like stuff like that. But yeah, mate, I mean, like I said, and then I watched that coffee club with Carl Merber, and yeah, I mean, he basically broke the whole thing down. So do watch that if you want to know more about Grand Slam. And I think they've virtually signed everyone, and they're going to basically be slowly announcing it over the next few months, you know, an athlete every couple of weeks, once a month, whatever it may be. So people are involved in this. There's athletes out there who know, you know, who know a lot more about it, but obviously they'll be sworn to secrecy at this stage. So we can only look forward to what's to come. But I mean, that was the big races in the US champs. Obviously the 10K was exciting, but it was a bit of a runaway. Women's 5K was, to be fair,
yeah, that was
insane. Like 14:40, Jesus.
Right. St-Pierre is, she's quality, isn't she?
I mean, her and Cranny are.
The two of them. And also, it's the way that they're running away from Carissa Schweitzer, who has great pedigree in those events. And that's when you like, when you see two running away, but then you look at third place and you're like, it's an athlete of that quality. Then you're like, okay, yeah, now they're shifting, you know, because if it was just the two of them running away from everyone else and there's no one else there, but when you're kicking away from Schweitzer at that speed already, yeah, you must be in tip top shape, you know, so.
And Schweitzer, like, good to see her make the team and get back to her best, and she's got a bit of time now, so after like what has been a pretty rough 2 years for her, and then obviously Parker Valby in fourth. But yeah, like, what a battle in that women's five. Don't get many races like that. So yeah, and then I guess still to come in at US champs, which by the time we're recording would have happened, is men's eight, men's five. Women's steeple was last night. That too was a great race. And I saw someone saying, yeah, I think they had five women inside the previous, five or six women inside the previous meet record of 9 and 9. It's like, what's going on? But I think just more women are taking that event a lot more seriously. And rightly so, because I actually think even on a world stage, like, still seems to be that if you can get in low 9 minute shape, you'll get a medal at a major champs. Like,
yeah, I think, and that is one thing as well. Yeah, that is one thing as well on that American kind of trial system, is that because they're able to spread it out over a week, like you have to double up if you want to double at the champs. And I also think it tests your ability to double, for example. So it would allow someone like Whiteman, say, to kind of contest the British champs over 8 and 15. It would allow Mills to contest the British champs over 15 and 5. I don't know if we've got the kind of depth to spread it out over as long as they do. But I definitely think we could adopt some of that to that top three kind of top three system. But it would be cool. I would love to see it if we could spread it out over that time and make people double, you know. But
yeah, I mean,
it's hard. It's hard.
You could technically just have, like, you could do Friday, Saturday, Sunday, two weekends in a row sort of thing. Or like, yeah, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or just a few evenings, a few weekends in a row, like, because the timetable already, like, I actually think that's almost more exciting. Like, and if you have been watching the US champs, it literally has been like sort of, I want to say sort of like two hour windows. And that for me has always been more exciting than 8 hours of.
Yeah, it is. But what I would say is say this weekend, for example, in 2.5 hours, we have like most of the distance finals for the Olympics, for the British champs.
We do.
Which is top quality. We get to see between what, half two and five or 5:30.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get to see every kind of Olympic person kind of winning that Olympic trials, apart from that women's steeple and the women's five. So that's pretty exciting program, in my opinion.
It is, mate. That's why we're going to be there, mate, in the main stand.
Yeah, we'll be there. Matt will be filming some stuff. So if you want to feature on a podcast socials, then you can.
I mean, we're both amateurs in that regard, but
absolutely, absolutely. But yeah,
hopefully we'll be catching up with some elite athletes and hopefully grabbing a few pieces from. Like I say, it'd be really interesting to hear what Keely has to say about Mooseful and stuff. And Keely obviously being in the 400. So, yeah, but I think that's it, mate. I mean, obviously, yeah, the US champs, most of it's on YouTube. Like, just go find the individual races. That's what I've been doing. It's been a great watch whenever I wake up that next day, half hour over a cup of coffee, watching whatever happened the night before. So,
You got too much time on your hands, mate.
I wake up early, mate. I now wake up at 6. You know, I figured I was wasting 2 hours of my morning by waking up at 8. So now I wake up at 6. I get my run done. You know, actually, a little while ago, I was moaning about, you know, just not having the time, not having the structure. I've sorted my life out now. I wake up at 6 o'clock now. I go for a run. Well, I do a bit of admin, grab a coffee, go for a run. And look, I start my day at 9 o'clock like everybody else. But I've been more productive. So
there you go.
It's the weather, though. You know, I sleep with the curtains open, so you wake up automatically at 6 o'clock, whereas otherwise...
Coach Seddon is now a life coach as well. So, yeah, sign up to Some Running. He can give you some life coaching too. There you go. But, yeah, let's get into Zach Mohammed. We'll let the man do the talking. So enjoy that episode. And for those of you that are listening on Sunday, we hope to see you this afternoon at British Champs. Enjoy.
Okay, Zach, firstly, just great to have you on the podcast and welcome. How are you, first of all? Just come back from Rome.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah, of course, yeah. It was quite nice, yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem at all. So you're all recovered after your race last week?
Yeah, it's been a week and a bit now, so I have recovered well. So just working on next target now.
I mean, 17th in Rome in the 10,000. Was this? Could you say this was the biggest stage you've competed at?
Rome was. Yeah, it was a great experience. Really, huge championships races. So, it was really good experience. 100%. So, it is to be out there and battling with great athletes. So, it's quite nice.
You've had time to digest it now. What's your kind of opinions on the race? I saw a little bit on social media. You were saying potentially maybe you could have sort of just backed yourself a little bit more and kind of got after it a little bit more. Is that fair to say? What's your thoughts?
I feel like I've done enough, but not as not. I haven't hit the target like where I could have lived there. Going with you know, higher position, maybe like top tens, even closer to that. I'm capable of it, but it's like first major championship, so you don't really know what you're gonna do. So just go with it, and then come out with lessons. So yeah, so you just go there and learn something new, and then work on it, I guess, for the future races.
Was the race like, how was the race different to like a Highgate? You know, you ran Highgate a few weeks before it. It seemed to be progressive throughout. Every K was almost getting faster, and there were quite a lot of sort of ups and downs. Was it like that for you in the pack? Did you notice that?
It is, like, you can tell like big difference where in Highgate it's mostly like consistency until the last bit, but this one is kind of the pace keep changing. It's like literally getting speed up, slowing speed up. At some point, we're like about 8K, where everyone like just bunched together. But you didn't see that thing raise in Highgate, where everyone just spread over, apart from like some of them in the back, where the big group is literally, I can see like the leader about couple of meters away from me at some point. You know, I'm still with them trying, but if I had a gear change last kilometer, I could have been out there with them, but fortunately it's something that I've learned. Yeah, it's completely different.
Are you someone who watches the races back? Like, have you watched the race back a few times? Like, are there things you kind of watch and you think, oh, I wish I'd gone with that move there? Or do you kind of just leave it and on to the next one?
I don't really usually watch it, but unless I did well. Like, if I'd done something, done good, then I kind of look it back and then I'm like, yeah, next one. But if I'd done like really bad, then I don't use it.
Mate, that's fair enough. And I'm interested to get stuck into you as a runner and how you've developed over the last few years. Obviously, a great performance in Rome, and hope to see you wearing that GB vest more on the track. And actually, on that, is the track, is it something that you're going to stick with for the next few years? Obviously, you know, your brother's gone to the roads, and predominantly, you know, the pair of you have been quite cross country and road based. That's probably your strongest background, would you say? But now you seem to be really developing on the track.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to what my brother did. Just now I'm sticking to the track for a couple of more years, see how that goes, and then hopefully look into the road. I'm not rushing too much right now because I'm still got time. I think I still can improve a lot on the track. So I will hang on to it as long as I can on track, and then eventually move into marathon, hopefully.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Like, one thing we wanted to chat to you about is some of your progression, like particularly between like 2022 and 2023, chopped a massive kind of chunk of time off your 10K. Was part of this down to maybe actually you just weren't racing so much like away from the cross? Like, we always knew kind of on the cross country you're making teams and things like that. Did it just take a bit of time for these kind of your PBs to get down as well, or did you really make some progressions there?
No, I was actually when I used to do a lot of cross country, I used to love it, but over times I realized there's not much that I can do on a track, on a road, on cross country that can. Yeah, there is a couple of races, but it's not as big as on road on track. So I kind of leave a little bit shift from cross to the track and road, mainly focusing those. And while I was in that process, I made a huge progress, and then just literally from that, just everything's happened, I guess, through between those. So Yeah,
it's interesting. So basically, you loved the cross country, but then you started to realize that just there's only a few big races, and even them, they're not massive, and there's a lot more for you on the track, on the road. And so, would you say your training then shifted to focus on the track and road more as well?
Yeah, it's funny. Like back in the day when I used to do a lot of cross, because of my religion, I used to do Ramadan. In Ramadan, we don't, because always happen in middle of the summer, track season. I tend to not to train as much because that time I'm like 17, 20. I tend to not to train too much for preparing for track season. So I always kind of messed up, not training well. That's why I always like not doing well on the track. Then when it comes to track, cross country, I'm in like good shape, and then I can't do well because I don't do Ramadan. It's just like I'll be getting into good shape and then just get out there. And then now everything's slowly changing. The Ramadan of time has been changed, and now it's just like easy for me to just progress in my my training through the summer. So it's kind of like benefit me a lot, but yeah, that's how I see it.
Yeah, so you found sort of a system that works for you. How much has your coach kind of like been influential in changing in kind of some of your improvements over the last few years? Like you mentioned that actually maybe kind of you found it easier to train now, but surely your training's kind of gone up a notch as well in the past couple of years.
It is has changed massively throughout the year, just slowly adding a bit to the texture, and then from that just progress, I guess, every sessions, every runs, because we're looking into a bigger distance now, especially half and 10K. So it's obviously a long way, small, and then you need a really good train blocks in order to complete in a good level. So it is massively big difference.
Yeah, man. I mean, I want to talk about your coach, Idris, because, you know, he's someone that I think is probably arguably one of the best 5,000, 10,000 coaches and up in the UK right now. Obviously, he coaches you and your brother and a few others. And I think he probably doesn't get enough recognition. What's the relationship like there? And kind of obviously you've had great success under him.
Yeah, we do have a really good relationship. He has really had a big impact in me. So I always give a credit. The relation there is up there. He made me a lot of big impact in my training, my racings, tactics, and everything. So yeah, there's a lot of big kung fu under him as well in the future, hopefully. So I'm quite happy with him settling in. So.
What, yeah. You talk about impacts. What sort of impact did he make? What sort of changes initially did he implement?
Like just the way training I used to train and the way I used to race. It's pretty much just getting into that environment with them. It's just everything's completely different. Yeah, it's just like everything's went from like, obviously, when it's like you move to different city, you just like everything's new and just like kind of new life. So I picked up everything from there. So yeah, I've been learning. I'm still learning it. I'm just gonna continue with this.
Yeah. So you think he was kind of helping you, like just outside of running, as well as running? Do you mean?
Yeah. No, he's kind of like one of my family now. So we kind of talk everything. It's not just athletics, but outside athletics as well. So yeah, he's it does help a lot around. So.
Yeah. That's interesting, mate. And obviously we've had your brother Mohammed on the podcast before. He actually we didn't realize this, but he was kind of saying to us that you don't really train together that much, despite being kind of similar areas and being coached by Idris. But is this still the case? You still don't train together?
At the moment, no, because he's in marathon blocks. So I'm in no way to that level yet. So the thing is, we don't kind of live next to each other, so it's kind of made it hard. even when we are together and living in the same house, we tend to not. We do train like sometimes, but not always, because we have a completely different session, different training program. But here and there, we do some of long runs, some of the track sessions, even hills. We do sometimes together, but not always. You know, like whereas a training partner, we do a lot of things together, but we do it occasionally.
Talk about the sort of impact he's had on you as well, though, because I think, you know, he's given you quite a lot of advice over time, has he not, sort of going into races and stuff? Did you almost see him as a little bit of a, I guess, assistant coach in many ways in your early part of your kind of career?
Yeah, because he is really big inspiration. Not now, just like even now, he's not only to me, just as many others, especially what he done in marathons. So especially now, I have to, before I was like, but now I have to take in whatever he says, whatever the advice he gives, take in and then just like learn from what he done. And then obviously I'm going to move to marathon. So everything he gives, so I have to take in now. So yeah, he is a big inspiration.
Where are you based at the moment? Because you said you don't often kind of living in the same area. Where do you train? Out of Southampton, or?
I'm still based in Southampton. Yeah, I'm still living in Southampton. So
nice. Yeah, and do a lot of your training solo, then, I take it. You know, unless you're doing the odd session with him, a lot of it's solo with the coach.
Yeah, just solo. Everything's pretty much now. So especially when he moved up to marathon, it's been a couple of months now. Yeah, just been solo, just been trained by myself.
And do you like it that way? Do you enjoy that?
Sometimes I like it. Sometimes kind of like have freedoms. So the way I looked at it, I kind of like having a big group is like you don't have that kind of freedom where you just wake up like, I got to be on times, I got to be there, got to be certain locations. But at the same time, when you're training alone, you can just wake up whenever you want and then just get it done and shoot off. But I kind of like it. At the same time, sometimes it's tough because you need a team around you to push you, even like that 1%. So yeah, it worked. So it's been working, so I can't complain too much.
It has. It sounds like you don't have too much routine. You're the kind of, like you mentioned then, just waking up when you want to wake up, and then you go work out when you want to work out. Is that the way you live the life?
Well, pretty much, yeah. last couple of years. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So
that's why you didn't want to do the podcast too early this morning, Zach. Is that right?
I gotta wake up, and then because I don't say alarm too much that often as well, so just wake up and go do whatever I do. Literally the routines just change every time, so
you're so laid back. You must go to, you know, when you've been to sort of, I guess, championships in the past, like Europeans and on the cross as well. Do you look at some other people and sort of how different you are to them, how different you approach things to them?
Some of them, yeah. Because everyone is different, isn't it? Like the way they train, just everything's. I guess everyone is not the same. I have my own, even like compared to my brother, I'm completely different. I see some people do like for example, do a shakeout in the morning, where I don't usually do that in the mornings before competitions. Now I only do that in. Actually, I start this year, but before I never do like on the race day. I don't do a shakeout before competitions, and especially in the morning. But now I start doing it. But it's just like, yeah, you can learn one or two things in, you know, when in this kind of event, when in the championships. Obviously, everyone can bring new things to the table. So people like, oh, that's excellent. Let's just try it. So like even like that shakeout, that's like new to me. So I just picked it up recently. So I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Is that something that you experiment with a fair bit? Like, do you decide, like, do you go to Idris and say, actually, I'd like to do a shakeout here, or like, maybe I should do longer warm up, for example, or is it something that he kind of like pushes a bit as well?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. So we tried it, but we haven't tried it because, like, now the race, if it's the race like an evening, I will 100% go for like nice and easy, smooth jog. But if it's kind of like afternoon, then we trying to avoid that. So just not to waste too much energy and then just stay indoors as long as we can. So if it's like, for example, the race in the evening, then definitely early in the morning jog, and then just the rest of the day just an easy rest and do nothing, I guess. So yeah, we have experienced that, but we haven't tried it when the race in the evening, so afternoon, so I don't think I would try that, but for now, so we'll see.
And that freedom of your life, obviously being a professional with Nike, has given you that freedom. And did you ever go through a period, a little bit like your brother, where you were having to work full-time alongside training? Were you fortunate enough to, you finished up your studies and you signed pro pretty much straight away?
Actually, I used to work part-time. I wasn't working full-time because I'm still at uni. Before I signed Nike, about a year before that, I was working part-time. And then I was juggling with uni, obviously. And then a year later, I signed with Nike. Then I just left that job. And then, obviously, now I'm just juggling with running and university. So, yeah, they made a big, massive difference.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So you're still at uni, are you?
I'm still at uni, yeah. It's my last year.
Okay. Didn't fancy Bucks then?
No. I don't think I would do that one.
No. But in all seriousness, what are you studying, Zach?
Sports management.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, must be great to have, obviously, like a massive company like Nike behind you. Is that almost a dream come true, you know? Because I feel like a lot of people say different maybe if they're sponsored by other brands, but I feel like for most people kind of growing up, getting a Nike contract is kind of a massive kind of bucket list thing, you know?
Yeah, to be honest, I always went to, even like since I started my running career, I always said like, oh yeah, if I get Nike, I'll be very, very happy. You know, like this is not even now, it's like when I was under 13, under 15. So I don't think I've worn other brands, but I always wear my Spike or my racing shoes has been Nike over the years. So when I called from my agency, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. So it's literally, this is like dream came true. So I'm so happy, and then I'm so lucky to have my first brand as a Nike as well. So it's massive. It's big deal.
That's a massive deal, man. And we'll get more into shoe rotations and stuff towards the end of the podcast. But just wanted to ask you about, you know, you read a lot around distance running. You learn a lot from what I've heard as well. And one of your favorite phrases is no risk, no story. But I wanted to ask you, like, what does taking risks look like for you? Like, what sort of risks are you taking currently or have you took previously to kind of get to where you are now?
Just taking a risk. It's like when I use that phrase, it's like it's literally the progress I'm making in that round. It's like just especially when you're in competition, it's kind of like you tend to be scared of your competitor, I guess. Like, oh, he's faster. If you look at the result, you'd be like, oh yeah, he's faster than me. He's stronger. He's better finished than me. Just like when you get into the start lines, everyone's no matter what you've done in the trainings, it's down to that race. You just like how much you wanted, you just take the risk and then just go for it, and then you come out with, if you put that mindset in your mind, you always come out with positive. At least you give it a go, you know. So this is why I think that kind of phrase has helped me with my mind, changed my everything, I guess. Like, you know what, I'm not scared to have a go, try and go out there and race. So it's always it's good to have that kind of mindset where you know you can do it, give it everything you got, you know, whether it's in training or in racing, so you can learn new things, you know. So yeah, that's the mindset behind.
Yeah. And obviously it's clearly working. You're having a fantastic season, but what's next for you in 2024? Like what are your big aims? I know you said to us kind of before we started that you're looking at maybe some 3Ks as well.
I think I have two more races on track. One is Morton Games, mm-hmm. 5K. Couple of days I think there's another 3K race somewhere in Ireland. I can't remember what is it. I think it's like 9th of July. So Cork City?
Oh, yeah. Cork City Games? Yeah.
Cork City Games, yeah. I'll be doing that. And then I've got two weeks break after that, I think, before we head into getting ready for the cross-country and road.
Wow. So you will literally call your track season mid-July, so I guess the European Championships was your focus this season and you're not too bothered about kind of lowering your 5,000 meter time or getting in another 10,000 race. I know there's few of them, and you're kind of all eyes on getting prepped for that cross-country season. And have you got any targets heading into that, to the winter then?
I guess my focus was to get to the Euro. I guess I've got that. I've got quite a lot of time to get to the, that was one of my main targets. So I've done that. Now I just need maybe one or two races on track, and then after they call it a day. And just the plan was to have a break before cross country season start, and obviously restart. It's over the winter. There might be one half marathons, and then. And just focusing on qualify for that European cross country.
Sounds good. Will that give you time to we get out to Paris and watch your brother?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. Awesome. So
be good. Have you got any predictions how he's going to go?
To be honest, no idea. I'm kind of nervous because. He's making me scared on the only time London, but so you never know because he's still making that progress in marathons. So, and obviously this is going to be kind of like different, I guess, to the rest of the marathons because this is like championship where other ones like, you go for it. That's like just no race. So, could run good time, could run fast times, could run high positions. I don't know how it goes. So it's gonna be I guess it's gonna be good race for him as well. So good learning, because this is gonna be his first marathon at all stage. So just kind of looking forward to watching him.
Mate, absolutely. And I was a little bit surprised. It's you didn't want to give British Champs a go yourself over the 5,000. Any thoughts on that? Any thoughts on who might win the 5,000? Who might be on that 5,000 team in Paris?
I kind of want to do it, but at the same time, so I kind of like, I'm away off qualifying times, because you need to get qualifying time and come top two. And obviously, there's a lot of quicker guys already got qualifying time who will be there. It's kind of take a risky, like travel to Manchester and then take the risk, or just call it a day, I guess, because you've done for them what you need to get done for the summer. I reckon if George Mill will be doing it, then he got the spot. The second one's whoever, I guess. I think, I'm not sure if Charles Hicks is doing it, but it'll be between him and Jack Rowe. And Patrick is doing it as well. So just whoever wanted, you know, so one of them should be there. So out of those three, Patrick, Jack, and Charlie.
Awesome, man.
You've heard it from Zach Mohammed. That's what he's saying. We'll probably release this on the day of British Champs, mate, so people will be able to test your knowledge. But just before we finish then, do you mind just talking us through kind of like a typical week's training? Like, what does that look like sort of Monday to Sunday for you right now?
Right now, I'm just... I had a couple of days recovery after Euro. So now kind of like my training, because I'll be racing in 2 weeks' time. So it's kind of like just mileage in terms of mileage, just kind of picking up slowly. I would say Monday will be like kind of easy double. Tuesday will be just normally on track. Now I'm just kind of focusing, getting that leg of speed and legs. Because it's 3K, it's like 7 laps, so it's kind of like don't want to try shorter distance, but kind of need it as well. So at the moment, kind of picking up the time of the mileage, but in training, in sessions, not as much, because I'm gonna start doing it probably next week, start from Monday. I have an idea what the plan next week is, because they're trying to get the coach sending over like pretty much daily. So,
you get your training sent to you daily.
Well, just for now, between obviously Euro and that race, but before it was different. Before it was different, but just because. Recovery weeks for a couple of days and then still proof up, but now you just start sending daily, and then after that would be 2 weeks off, and then we plan after that, but just for now, not always.
Mm-hmm. What sort of mileage are you hitting, Zach?
Before Euro, I was hitting around 100 or just under 100 miles.
Is that quite typical for you kind of throughout a year?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I used to, before, like way before that, I was doing like 60, 50 miles a week. So stepping that 50 mile to 60 miles has made a massive difference over the years. So,
What was the transition like, you know, from going to 60 to 100? Did you do that in quite a short space of time? It sounds like you did.
Yeah, it kind of took me about a couple months to get used to running, because the thing is, before I used to have like kind of niggles, like take me like a couple of days to recover whenever I try and do a higher mileage. I try not to do it because of the niggles, and I gradually just increased it slowly, and then take me a couple of months to get used to that mileage. And obviously I've not at the moment, like if I hit 100 miles, have like no issues. Before I used to have like legs, sores, just so many niggles there, there's that, so many issues going on with my body. So now if I hit like even over 100, I don't think I will have any problems, because I get used to it, been doing that for like a while now. So I haven't had any issue, I guess. So
Yeah, decent. Yeah, sounds like you really kind of adapted to that training, and obviously, as we've seen from your results, it's paying off. Just finally, then, do you mind just talking us through your kind of your favorite Nike shoes that you're wearing at the moment?
The one I use a lot is Invisible 3. Oh mm-hmm. my gosh, that's one of my favorite. I guess I will try Pegasus 41. That's just recently released, so I haven't tried it, but I'll try it. So. Even for recovery, for runs, general runs, Invisible 3. So that one, definitely for me, it's one of my favorite. It's got too much cushion in, and then I have never had a problem, any issue with it. So, yeah, that one, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Talking about high mileage, that's definitely one of the shoes that helps people do that, isn't it? But look, anyway, Zach, it's been great to chat to you today. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. And we wish you all the best for the rest of the season, and then your break and cross-country season as well.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.